bodies to come a little closer. You know, it'd be nice. Some people need to hug the walls. I understand that. Age creeps up. But for everyone else, it's just to deal with my loneliness factor. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya
Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giravara Dhari Jaya Giravara Dhari Jana Vallabha Jaya Giravara Dhari Jaya Giravara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giravara Dhari Jaya Giravara Dhari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Bolo, bolo, ha! Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Ho 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 Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Ramunati Ravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Ramunati Ravana Chari Oh Jaya Ramunati Ravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamunati Ravana Achari Jaya Kunja बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय बूंद बिहारी जया राधा माधव जया कुंज बिहारी जया गोपी जन्म जया गिरवर धारी jaya yashoda nandana jaya braj jan ranjana jaya damunati ravana chari jaya onjabiyari jaya
Everyone, oh,
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari
Bola Bola
Jaya Radha Madhava Ajaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Gunja Bihari
Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Bhari Paramahansa Paribharaj Kasari Asatarasata Sri Srimati Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Glories to the assembled devotees Glories to the assembled devotees Glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namjabarayas Bhutanibhutane. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminita Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Guravani Pricharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschajari Shatarine. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, everyone. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so we're looking at the Srimad Bhagavatam and it's... is chapter 14, and this is entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, and it's text number 54. Tasmat Priyatama Svatma Sarvesham Api Dehinam Tad Artham Eva Sakalang Jagad, etach, characharam, tasmat priyatama svatma, sarvesham api dehinam, tad artham eva sakalam, jagad etach characharam. Tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api dehinam tad artham eva sakalam jagat etat characharam tasmat priyatama svatma api deenam taratam eka jagat itras characharam tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api deenam tadartam eva sakalam jagat etas characharam tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api deenam tadartam eva sakalam jagat etas characharam. Vaishnavis, tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api deenam tad artham eva sakalam jagat etas characharam tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api deenam taratam ibas tam jagat etas characharam. Let's try one more tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham api deenam tadartham eva sakalam jagat etat characharam tasmat therefore priyatamaha most dear swatma one's own self sarvesham for all api indeed dehinam embodied living beings tat artham for the sake of it eva certainly sakalam all jagat the created universe etat this chara acharam with its moving and non-moving entities. And translation. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. Please repeat. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving exists. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word characharam indicates moving living entities, such as animals, and non-moving living entities, such as trees. Or the word may also refer to moving possessions, such as one's family and pets, and non-moving possessions, such as one's house and household paraphernalia. Tu fini, that's it. Namo Shivaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vicharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasacheri Shatarini. Thank you. So, anyways, I don't think I can teach you anything. I'm really just here to learn from you all. But let's just look at, reflect on some of the words by Lord Brahma. He happens to be heading up our Sampradaya, our chain of teachers, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, Kumaro Kapilo Manu, Pralado Janako Bishnu, Balir Vayasakir Vayam. In that list of great teachers, spiritual masters, is Brahma, and he happens to head up our Sampradaya. And he's giving us a full lesson. Of course, he's repeating Krishna's own message. I think we all know how it works. The example is given in the Krishna book itself, where give the example of water. Water is collected, let's say it's dumped into the ocean, and then the sun is there, and the water is precipitated, goes up into the air, and then it moves into the atmosphere, and then sometimes it comes into the mountainous areas where it becomes cold and turns into snow, and then it lands on the caps of the mountains, and then at some seasons, this water may melt, and then it comes down from there downhill, you know, down to the low-lying areas, and you know, into the valleys and the creeks and the rivers, and then finally it dumps into the ocean, and then it comes up again like that. So Krishna, he's the teacher of Vedic knowledge, and he's presenting this to the sun god. That's explained in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and then that's handed down to Manu. You know, after delivering it to the sun god, from Manu to Ikshvaku, and Ikshvaku is a great king in the line of the Raghu dynasty, which is Ramachandra's dynasty, and this way it just continues on up to this day. And when there's a broken chain, when there's a seeming, when it goes underground or the information is not well disseminated, then it's time for Krishna to come again and, okay, here we go, lesson, you know, take two, or take three, whatever. And it continues on like that. So Krishna's like the sun, and he's seeing that this whole operation goes on, and it comes back to him in the form of his teacher, Sanibhani Muni. You know, God doesn't need to be taught anything, but Krishna does follow the conventions, and he agrees to sit down like a student and listen, and then, you know, absorbs his own information, and then he'll also broadcast it out again. And this way it goes in a cyclic pattern. What doesn't go in a cyclic pattern? Pretty much, you know. I actually went to, I took a walk in downtown Toronto last week. It was a very nice day, weather-wise. And I actually got tired at one point. It was kind of damp everywhere, rainy, and I decided I've got to, you know, just sit down, just take a little break. So there was a church nearby on McCall Street. So I went up the steps, the door was open, and the light was, you know, pouring out, saying, come on in. So I went in, and I sat in the back pew, and I started chanting japa very quietly. And people were quietly coming in and going out, you know. There was no mass or ceremony. But one woman, she came to me, she was about 65 years old, and she had a rosary in her hands like this. And she first of all asked me, are you Catholic? I said, no. You're Hindu, aren't you? Says, well, I'm Hare Krishna. It's somewhat related to Hindu. And I said, but you see, I have a strand of beads here too. And I have 108 beads, and you have 54. You know, but if you do it two times around, then you catch up with us. So the point is, it's just all a cycle. You keep going on like this, you know. And she asked a lot of other interesting questions. And I told her that I was Catholic before. Said, why did you leave? And I said, I didn't leave. I'm still a Catholic. I just added Krishna. And she asked me, you know, after I explained that I'm doing this chanting on the beads, she asked, what does it do for you? I said, well, it helps me to communicate with the Lord. What do you communicate? I said, well, I'm asking the Lord to please give me every opportunity to do some service to you. So it's about giving and not, you know, taking. And she kind of rolled her eyes and she walked away. But anyways, it was a nice exchange. She was cyclic. You mean the eyes went. What doesn't go around? At least in this, even in the spiritual realm, we always think that everything's quite linear when we're talking about, you know, the Goloka, you know. But, you know, the pastimes with Krishna seem to be repeating themselves always. Everything is pretty cyclic. And I know our Christian friends our evangelical people, friends especially, and I want to call them friends because I have this, I get under my skin sometimes when I hear them. But I have to remind myself they are friends, and they'll make this criticism. Oh, you know, in this India, everything's round, but with Jesus, it's just going up like this. It's all linear, like, you know, it's all in the vertical direction, you know. And little do they know that, you know, we have this, and we have this too, you know. We've got all kinds of angles, you know. It's all very rich, you know, the philosophy is very rich, and that's what it is. So Brahma, he's our teacher, and he's pretty outstanding. If you're a demigod, and if you're in that status, oftentimes it means that you're a kshatriya, you're ready to fight. And who are you fighting? Well, the demons. You know, it's always this theme of the good and the bad, you know, at loggerheads with each other. Indra takes a stance, you know, so many of the devatas are like that. Brahma's got a little more of a brahminical kind of profile, you know. He sits there like this and he does his meditation, and he's certainly meditating on Krishna, who, by the way, is a teacher. Krishna always comes around to teach. So now Brahma is conveying this, what Krishna already knows, and you've been going through some of these shlokas, some of these verses. And now he's talking about the self, referring to the individual living entity. And he's talking about how the living entity is being provided what he or she wants in this world. Everything is being provided for. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam yo vididhati kaman. So all the living entities are being provided. Their desires are somehow or other being fulfilled. If you're not making a lot of money now in this life, and many devotees are in that, you know, many devotees are like this. don't have to be. But if you want lots of money and you really want to come back to this world again, probably you'll be there in next life. It'll come or it'll happen for you, you know. So you get what you want, and that's the name of the game. You get what you want, and Krishna provides. After all, he's watching as Paramatma. He's just registering with the ordinary Atma to see what's going on in your life, what's going on in your heart, what do you want? Okay, are you sure that's what you want? Okay, that's what you want. I'll make the arrangements. And then there's an elaborate system of process that goes on. So from this verse, we can understand that the living entity wants to have some so-called freedom, some independence, wants the world. There's a demand to live seemingly independent of the Lord's, of Krishna's program. And so there's a design made, and that is called prakriti, material nature. Purusho prakriti stohi, bhunti prakriti changunan. So the purush, the living entity, which is all of us, we are coming in contact with prakriti, energy of God, because we want to. And it's there because we wanted it. There's a demand. You know, this last summer, I just got into this, you know, I changed my diet. When you age, you know, your diet changes. You want less and you want more of this and less of that. And, you know, I've been going through an evolution of changes. It used to be soy liquids, and then it's this, and then it's just juices. And now it's been coconut water, you know. And people are on that kick right now, on coconut. And not from the hairy coconuts, but I'm talking about from the, you know, in a carton. Sorry. And it's especially if you're doing a lot of walking, it's really nice. So, you know, and there's a demand for it, you know. And, of course, they make it very enticing. There's this one particular sort of mom-and-pop grocery store I go to, and they always have this one unit that is all the new special products online, you know, the new arrivals kind of thing. And they make the pricing on the items dirt cheap, so you'll get in there and look and drool or whatever. And then you purchase it, and then you get hooked after a while. Then you realize something happens in the transition of things. The price starts up here like this. And then you think back, hey, wait a minute, when I first got this. Anyways, you get hooked on these things after a while. But there's a demand. America's very good for seeing how to get people to be demanding of certain products. America's been very good at flaunting stuff, and things basically you don't need, but now suddenly we are a culture that needs everything. And it's all in a box called Walmart. You know? I remember being on the youth bus tour the first time I ever went on the trip, which was about 10 or 11 years ago. Manaram will tell you, he knows better than I. He's got his figures down. Being a little bit, living in the temple atmosphere and environment, and just kind of like walking or sometimes flying to temples and, going to festivals, you're a little bit away from all of this, sort of secularism. So we were in the bus, and Manaram announced to everybody, all the young people, the young devotees, okay, we're going to go to Walmart. And everyone went, yay! Whoa! And I wonder, what? This thing called Walmart. Is it like Kmart, Krishna Mart? And then I was a little curious. I just went into this big, big monster of a box, and I just looked in there and says, everything's here. Everything's here from China. Shelf after shelf after shelf after shelf of plastic stuff, And so there's somehow or other a demand is created, and so therefore it's provided for. So I think that the entrepreneurs or the good merchant, kind of people have got this idea from God, from Krishna himself, that, there's people want to feel independent. I says, I don't really want God in the picture. I just want my own domain. I don't want to be in a line with anybody. I'm going to make my own line. And so because of the insistence or the persistence, therefore Krishna has said, okay, Prakriti, voila, there you are. Okay, and Jiva, inject yourself in there, see what happens. Sad asad yoni janmasu, good and bad, and so what actually is the experience. It's the verse we looked at the Krishna house last night. So I found this verse very interesting. When Mukya told me, this is the verse you're going to have, and I thought, oh, very nice. Okay, purport, two sentences. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so what Prabhupada does do here, he highlights out of this whole thing, maybe we'll go back to the subject we just talked about, and the big demands that people have in this world. Characharam. Characharam refers to living entities that are moving and also not moving. We all have experience. I flew here, actually. Some people, everywhere I go, people say, Maharaj, did you walk here? Says, no, Prabhu, I flew. I broke down. I'm weakening. So we went in a plane. And they go fast. But everyone that was in there, I guarantee, we were all still. We were immobile. And most everybody was snoring, And so we were very, very quiet. We were very docile. We were very, just stoic, static. The plane was ecstatic. And the metal Garuda was moving at an incredible speed. So if you look in the course of the daily life, trees are supposed to be still. Of course, when there's a wind, the tops of them dance away. That's what's kind of nice. But they're very much anchored in this world. That refers to they're non-moving. We are understanding that mountains also move. The earth shifts. Anybody homeowners here? Any homeowners here? Do you ever get cracks in the walls? Sometimes you go into these homes, there's this lovely place I go to on the east coast in Canada. It's called Sydney, Nova Scotia. And I stay with this Punjabi family. Gopal Mandirata is his name. And they're just a sweet couple. He went there in the early 60s and, like new immigrants. Nobody had ever seen brown pigment before in
in other words, people are, their surname is Mick and Mac, or you're from the nation, Mac, you know. And, you know, so they got this greenhouse. And on the East Coast, they have these beautiful little boxed homes. One is stark green, the other one is stark blue. And it's like from a stark yellow, like a little storybook place. You know, that's what it's like. So their house was green. And when you go into their home and they cook nice Punjabi food, you know, the table is like this because, you know, the earth has shifted, or let's say the building has moved, because there's, you know, physical dynamics that happen that move your house. So I know Prabhupada says buildings don't move, but in some cases they do. In this case they did. I used to wonder with Mrs. Mandirata, how do the plates stay on the table? Why don't they just slide off, you know, like this? So everything does seem to move. Everything does seem, and we certainly do move all the time. Now we have to ask, where are you moving? How fast are you moving? Is it worth moving there? Maybe you're moving in the wrong direction. Maybe you should go in reverse. You know? And Srila Prabhupada, after all, did want us to move. He created a movement for us. So that means when you plug in, you start moving. But where are you moving to? Okay? I mean, I know we've all met people, devotees, who are the sort of gypsy type, you know? They just show up at your, you know, Mukhya will know this, or anybody, you know, who's been a teepee. Are there any, I understand Alachua was full of teepees, ex-teepees. How many people? I bet you half of you are, right? Put up your hands. Ex-teepees? Any wigwams then? Temple presidents, that's what we're talking about. So if you're a temple president, you'll know that somebody will just show up at your door, a devotee, says, and go, Haribo! And you're going, hey, can I help you? Well, I was just thinking about doing some seva here, Prabhu or Maharaj. You know, and then, so they do a little seva, and, you know, they go out there, they're really on their own course, and then after a while, they just find another temple, and they just kind of move along like, you know, like that, a little bit driftwood, you know, kind of like that kind of people. So we have those dynamics in our movement, you know, gypsy-type devotees are just constantly moving about, and then you have those that are very anchored, they're very non-moving kind of people. When's the last time, you know, Mrs. Temple President, you went to India, oh, about 20 years ago, why don't you move, and, you know. It is good to move around a little bit. Srila Prabhupada encouraged physical movement in the sense that go to the Holy Lands. He actually wanted us to go every year to India. Now, please don't tell your temple president that, because everyone will knock on Mukhya's door and said, Bhakti Marg Swami, when they're saying I should go to India every year, so I need a ticket. But if there's the means and the ways, then you go to India and you go to learn. You go to learn. India is definitely a learning place. You learn not to have so much sense gratification. It's a little hard to really get juice, squeeze it out there. Have you ever traveled in India? It's an experience. You know, you're not a tourist. You go to India, you're not a tourist in India. You're definitely a pilgrim. There's a difference. You learn, you know, it's automatic tapasya land. You know, things are not, you know, absolutely comfortable. At least that's my experience. Maybe things have changed in some areas. Mind you, once you get to these tirthas, these holy places, it's totally comfortable. It's so nice. For myself, when I go to Mayapur, I said, I just want to stay here. I like this. This is so, I love this place. I don't need to travel around. As soon as you leave the property, they have some, you know, somebody on the radio, a screechy sound, with some Mataji singing like a chipmunk, you know. You know, and I says, oh, please, spare me, spare me. I says, just want to go back in. And nothing against Mataji singing, you know, it was just the way they do it, it's a little different, you know. But I love Mayapur, and I was talking to Ambarish just a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned Ambarish, and I said, you know, in Mayapur, there's this car I really like. First of all, Ambarish, you know, I hate cars. I don't like what they've done for our civilization. I hate cars. And then he said, listen, Maharaj, I don't like them either. I don't like them. Can you believe that? Can you imagine? But we have to be practical, right? I said, but there's one car I like there. It's an Ambassador. And it's parked by the Samadhi Auditorium. And I mentioned if it's just rusting, you know, like you know, anything. Every year that I go there, which is near the Samadhi Auditorium, and I go there and do theater practices, you know, for our productions. And somehow or other, I love that car because Prabhupada was in it. And I see it every day. So it's like a constant companion. And it's the only car I like in the whole world. And you know how people tend to go to our dear friend Ambarish and say, Ambarish, I have a project in mind. So I never ever said anything to him before and said, you know, what do you think we can do? So anyways, the point is that moving, non-moving. There's a subject here. Prabhupada moved in cars. And everybody knows the great story of how Prabhupada was in an American car in India. And, you know, he was extremely bright and genius in many ways. He figured out everybody wants to do what the Americans do. So one day he was not working on the steering wheel. And so Prabhupada thought, well, you know, the way it works, everybody that's on the road, the pedestrians, they'll move to the side if they hear a car honking or a truck or one of these Tata trucks. Isn't that the way it is? India is a land of honking, isn't it? And many gods. So Prabhupada had the idea. He took a tully, like a plate out and a spoon or a stick, and he just banged it, boom, boom, like this. And so that people would get out of the way so the car, the American car, could move forward. So then Prabhupada made a remark to the devotees in the automobile. He said, because this is an American car, we are doing it like this. Now in India, because everybody follows the Americans, now they will stop using the horn and they'll bang plates. So Prabhupada, moved a lot in planes, cars, and so on. But he was also a mover and a shaker. Didn't he move us and didn't he shake us? Didn't he shake our little world, you know? Didn't he rattle our little cage? And we were all in our little cage, our hippie cages, or whatever else it might have been. Hippie or Hindu. I think ISKCON's made mostly of Hip-tus, you know, we're Hip-tus. Hindus and hippies, mostly, you know. Maybe the dynamics will change a little bit. But you know, we were in a box, and Prabhupada opened that box for us, that cage, and we got out. You know? So he shook our lives. He burst our bubbles. We had certain conceptions of what's right and what's wrong. And I was speaking to some young people yesterday. They're more or less going down the, you know, anarchy road. You know, I said, really, do you think that actually works? You know, nobody in charge. I said, well, why should we accept any? People have let us down so many times. You know. Yeah, but you're getting older and you're going to be in charge of something, maybe your kids, and they're going to not like what you do, and they're going to get into that anarchy mode, and they're going to say, I don't accept your authority, you know, and you see how you feel, you know. And, you know, even though there are mistakes made sometimes by leaders, you know, you still have to have some system, some operation, some structure. After all, Krishna was into structures, right? Chaturvarnamayashrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. People are kind of like slotted in. Even God puts us in a box. I hate to say it. I like the motto by the GVT, the Grihastha Vision Team. And they say, tightening the bonds that free us. They're talking about wholesome family life and all those good moral family values that, you know, keep you kind of, you know, locked in. In a certain way, like an incubator, like a protective zone, which helps you to grow and become mature. And at a certain point of maturity, you can just walk out and be strong yourself. Inside your own little box. So Krishna also has designed boxes for us, safety boxes. And of course, nothing can ever be fully safe in this world. But,
you know, you really try your best to establish a good household situation. I was very interested. I'm a little bit of a nature freak. And I was studying this, you know, we have our, in Canada, it's called the prairies. You call it the plains, right, in the Midwest. We have Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Have you ever heard of those places? Saskatchewan. And Alberta, okay, the tar sands, okay. So I was very interested in this one particular story told about there was, in the 20s and the 30s, they killed all the prairie dogs. They were a nuisance to the farmers. They did this DDT thing. It killed also the hawks and the eagles and the fox and everything because they'll eat the dead animals. So it wiped out so many living entities. It wasn't a good idea. So anyways, it also wiped out the ferrets, who were the natural predators to the prairie dogs. You know, the little gophers? We call them prairie dogs up there. So it's very interesting. In the Toronto Zoo, they bred these beautiful ferrets, which are predators, and they're actually smaller than the prairie dogs. They found that when they after they groomed them to, you know, go out into the wild again, that the prairie dogs would attack them in the day. But then they found one interesting thing. The ferrets would go in the nighttime. They sneak around, and they're very slinky and, you know, long, you know, like they can get into a hole real easy. And in the night, they would make their attack, you know, on their predator. So even in your nice little prairie dog hole, there's no real comfort, you know. So my point is that in the material world, it's not going to be perfect, 100% comfortable. So some people get a little depressed about that. Why have the perfect situation? You know, people cry the blues. You know, why don't I have the perfect mom and the perfect dad? And, you know, well, you know, some are that you have to live with your karma. Take it to heart. Look at it with dignity and say, this is where I am. This is my set of circumstances, okay? This is what has been given to me, or this is what I actually have demanded somehow or other. We understand by the laws of karma, you make your own world. Where you are right now, you're responsible for it. Don't blame everyone else. You're in it. That's where you belong. That's what you got it. You deserved it. Two things, two D's, desire and deserve. Well, somebody might say, well, who really desires to have trouble or to have misery? Nobody really does deep down in their hearts, but that's what you get by being in this material world. That's the result, you know. If I play around with a skunk, like somebody from Europe comes to somewhere in North America and says, oh, what a nice little pussycat, and you get close, and then, shower-free perfume, you know. They don't know, but that's what happens when you poke around with, you know, something you don't know about. So let's not be naive anymore. The material world is a harsh place. Dukkhalayama Shashvatam. And we have our experience of moving and non-moving things. Sometimes things need to be moved. I remember somebody donated this huge chest for all the coins that we were collecting on the street in the days of the Sankirtan that was in our temple. And then to get it out of there, we had to get some moving company to come in, and they had trouble with it. It was that heavy. The coins weren't inside, by the way. But it was just a heavy monster to move. Maybe you want to construct a house and get the stones out of the way. Maybe you got to remove a tree, and hopefully you'll replant a tree after that, you know. But things have to be moved sometimes. How many people here collect things? How many, do you have any pack ratters here? Are you a pack rat? You pack rat? If you pack rat Prabhupada's books, you're okay, you're excused. But how about all the other stuff? Are you good at collecting junk? Yeah, many people are, see? And here we're okay. Everyone's totally renounced in this community. Okay. But then at one point, you know, you look at it and also you get sick of it. You look at it, no, I can't believe I'm living in this junk. And you decide, I'm going to start moving things, you know? And so within, we have an artist. You know, there's a junkyard inside, by the way. There's junk, you know, check out the mind. Beautiful thing about chanting Hare Krishna is that you start to realize all the junk that's within. all the trash and the garbage. So much is there. It's been stacked up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said for many lifetimes. So you can imagine. Mountain ranges of it. So let's do something about it. Let's get it out of the way. You know. So we're meant to be moving things. We're meant to be doing these kind of things. And certainly as we are, as I said, we are in a movement. Everybody here likes the Rath Yatra. We see the big wheels turn. And it gives real joy to the heart of a Vaishnav. Jagannath's happy. We are happy. And I think other people out there, the outsiders, are also happy that things are moving. And in the story of Jagannath, you know the story very well. When the cart at Puri, during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, did not move, it's always a mystical thing, why the cart might not move. People were wondering. That was the fact that it was static. It was just staying there. It wasn't moving. It was part of Leela, part of pastime. And it allowed people for a little extra moment. But then the other part of it is when it moves, that's also nice. Anything that has a wheel on it should be turning. I know if you're carrying luggage, you know, it's nice. Whoever invented wheels on a piece of luggage. Remember in the Shisha in the 50s, or if you traveled, nobody had wheels in those days. I think a lot of people had more muscle then too. They could lift everything, you know. But now we have wheels, you know. It's one of the greatest inventions of all time, wheels. Let's credit Vishnu for that. you know, can you trace back when the wheel was invented? You know, the world with the spokes and the, you know, so again, we go back to cycles, don't we? So I would think we should, you know, out of this verse, and I really had to conjure up ideas, what can I say? And I didn't really prepare myself. I just, let me wing it for more fun that way. But in relation to movement, we have to ask ourselves, you have to ask yourself, am I moving? And if I am I moving fast enough? And where am I going? Am I going back to God? Am I moving in the direction of taking advantage of devotee association? Am I moving enough to that books on the shelf, and, you know, am I looking, or of course on the internet, am I looking up stuff that, well, I'm a walker, so am I moving my body enough so that the good oxygen in the morning will come to my brains and I can, you know, clear the cobwebs in my mind? Or am I just a house? Am I just, you know, inside all the time? Am I trapped in my own box? Am I moving to, you know, help myself on all levels? We have to be asking these things. And probably the answer is no. I'm not moving fast enough. Maybe I'm not going in the right direction. Maybe I'm entering a slump period. Has anybody ever gone through a Rahu and Ketu? I'm one of those people. I'm supposed to be getting out of it, I think, this year. Maybe today. That would be so nice. So, you know, Rahu Ketu, you know, when the stars are reading that, you know, you're going through a dark element, you know. So everybody has those periods in their life. There's no doubt about slumps. You hit slumps. And but you never give up on, you know, what keeps you rolling, the wheels turning, is this, the Dharma. Dharma is really a strong, important word for us in Krishna consciousness, because words like prema and bhava, they're kind of abstract. They're somewhere out there, but they're attainable. But to get there, you have to follow Dharma. Dharma means just be vigilant about your, you know, principles. Be vigilant about that. Be strong about that. And I know it's a big issue for young people. Of course, I'm looking at a room with lots of salt and pepper people up here. So I don't have to say anything to you. But for the younger folks, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, sort of wrap your head around this principle of Dharma and the morality. And it is very, very important. It's protection for us, you know. And if we keep two principles and at the same time maintain a nice, healthy spirit, healthy attitude towards everybody, You know, there's nothing worse than a fanatical Hare Krishna. They are sometimes worse than the, you know, other people who are from. You know, rules and regulations. Prabhupada said, you know, that kind of thing, and you'll of course find, you know, that totally cancels out everybody, because Prabhupada said, you know, or let's say he seemed to indicate to us, imply to us, that we have to see everything in their proper context, see everything with respect to time, place, and circumstance. And I can think of one example. He was talking to two sannyasis, and he stopped. He was walking with them, and he stopped one, and he said, so sannyas means you travel all over the world, and you. So I need you to do that. So the sannyasi agreed, and then he talked to the other one. He just turned around and said, now I need someone to manage this place. And you are a sannyasi, that means you do what's necessary. So I need you to stay here. So you're immobile and you're mobile. So, you know, how can you put an absolute on that one, right? Sannyas means to like a rolling stone, nothing to do with Mick Jagger. And the other sannyas means do what you need to do and stay grounded. You know, anchor yourself, put your feet in, plant them on the ground. This is one thing that I find. Dharma, if you follow your dharma, your natural psychophysical nature, usually it means that you're kind of in touch with reality. Oftentimes I find a lot of our devotees are a little bit, you know, like their heads in the clouds, you know. It's nice to have the heads in the clouds, but please put the feet in the ground. On the ground as well at the same time, you know. It's important to be this worldly, meaning, you know, do understand the practical things of this world, and at the same time be otherworldly. Do understand that there's an other existence out there that we hope to achieve. So I have a god sister, her name's Raharna, maybe some of you know her. She works at a hospital, and she told me clearly, people from different backgrounds or different cultures, they react to death in a different way. There's something otherworldly, and it's easy for them to die. And then there's people from certain cultures, they're very much this worldly. Like, here I am, this is my family, we've got our money, we've got our empire, how can I leave it now? You know? So, you know, there's something to be learned by getting balance together. And if you don't like that word balance, and it sounds too new agey, I'm sorry. But just check out the Bhagavad Gita. There are 700 shlokas, and almost like 1/9, 1/8 are verses to do with balance. Check it out. Do your homework. I don't care. You know, I'm just challenging you. Check it out. So balance is very important for us in our life, and not to be too extreme. And certainly when you get a little bit, you know, the salt and pepper category people, hopefully we've done that program of balance. You know, you might find it necessary to go really reach out to the other world, you know, Krishna's world, his domain, Vaikuntha, you know, the painless place. You know, while we're going through our own physical pain, let's reflect more on that painless place. It's important. Good. So those are some points we want to bring up. And moving, non-moving. Let's move. Let's make the movement move faster. And you know one thing? North America led the world in ISKCON at one time. We've been sort of, you know, biting the dust a little bit. We've been sort of trailing a little behind. But this year, and I think Mukhya can confirm it, in Houston, we're at meetings, we're achieving many good things now, and that we're moving ahead. Our book distribution is going up, and we feel like we're accomplishing something, you know. We've had a lot of major hurdles here in North America, but it's time for us to take that leadership role again and show the way. Because things started here by the blessings of Prabhupada, especially in America, we experience all the victories and also all the challenges first, isn't it?
Like I was the first kid in a group of five siblings. So I went through everything first, you know. And I was just the way it was, you know. I couldn't really learn. I had to learn all myself the hard way. So anyways, we went through the initial, you know, challenges. And now we're learning how to deal with them because they keep coming cyclically. Everything just comes back and rears their ugly face up, the problems and the challenges. And after a while, he said, I know that face. It's ugly, but I know it now. When I first saw it, I was scared. But now I'm not scared anymore, even though that face is ugly. So let's look at that ugly face and, you know, deal with it with dignity. We have much more wisdom now, much more experience, maturity. And we should just be proud of ourselves, pat ourselves on the back for being part of a nice movement that's moving. And of course, we could do better. We should do better. We should be looking at our principles, just revisit them if we're not doing so good in there. And just convince yourself that these principles, these morality issues are there to protect me and to help me to go back to Godhead. Okay? So, Hare Krishna. Too fini for me. What about you? Any questions? Yes.
I was just going to say, probably, I was just going to remind you.
He what?
These are purports after Prabhupada, written after.
Oh, that's right. Okay, these are purports. So I can criticize it then? All right. You gotta, let's do it together, okay? No, with Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, our dear God brother, and all of his assistants, Ridayananda Maharaj, whoever else, you know, they definitely went back to past purports, and they constantly, let's say, bringing up the issues that Prabhupada had brought to us that are key themes and, you know, let's say, messages that we need to hear, that need to be repeated. So to hear good things should be repeated again and again, because we're kind of dull. We don't get it. That's why it has to be repeated. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
To go to that painless place you were talking, do we at a certain stage need to go out of balance to move faster?
Out of balance might mean, could be interpreted as, you know, thinking out of the box, taking risks, and that Prabhupada did too. Yes, for sure. He did. Let's not forget that. Take some risks. He was very good at that. It was suggested to him, no, don't go to the West. It's no good. You know, it's too cold, and you're too old, and, you know, you'll only eat meat and potatoes, all those kind of things. That's all that's over there. So, no, he went, he took a risk. He took the good advice of his guru and decided, yes, I'll go to America, do a little bit what's not normally done. And, you know, for the sake of picking up the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what we have to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Go out of balance. That would be one way to interpret it. Yeah. But don't step out of the balance. You know, just please don't go to the club tonight and, you know, something. It's not that kind of daringness. Stay within the parameters of what is Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada encouraged creativity, intelligence, ingenuity. He encouraged all those things. Use all those things, you know. In America, yeah, big dreams have been fulfilled by people. So he saw that. That registered with him. And he said, okay, now do something big for Krishna. That's the idea. Okay? But do it with intelligence. Keep the intelligence in place. Okay? I think that's good enough for now. What do you think? Feedback? Oh, well, I appreciate that. Very good. It's
Speaking of feedback, I think it's personal. Nope. Okay.